Hey, welcome back to another episode of Ice Cold Facts, a very long overdue episode. It's hard to believe we're actually in the year 2024 already. And I think I probably haven't recorded since last year or 2022. So it's been a while, and that's something that I'm definitely working to get better with. Last year just posed so many different challenges for me, took away the consistency that I wanted to bring to the podcast. And, I don't want to say that I lost my passion for it, but it definitely challenged it and made it difficult at times to even want to come on and record and, find different guests that would be willing to come on. So, that's kind of where we are with that. So 2024 is definitely going to be a better year. More consistency, better guests. Not saying that none of the guests I had before were bad or anything like that, but just a more diverse group. So I think in episodes past, I had, guys I knew from St. Louis, and we would come on, we would, kind of share some personal stories. We talk basketball, things like that. But for the evolving of the podcast for those purposes, I do think that it's necessary to bring on other people besides people that are kind of in the sports world. There'll be some entrepreneurs, some people that are, kind of just making a name for themselves in their own, respective lane. So I'm excited to kind of be consistent this year. And, the whole gist of the podcast is to have people come on and, share their story. A lot of times, people are successful and their story can help encourage someone else and shed light on how they got to where they got to. So I think that'll be definitely beneficial for all my listeners and viewers. This episode won't be won't have any video attached to it. It'd be strictly audio. But just like years past, we'll have audio. We'll have Zooms with different guests and, again, have them come on, share their story, share their upbringing, what got them to the point they are now. Everyone, believe it or not, has that epiphany moment or that breakthrough moment in their life to where, sometimes you just get sick and tired of being tired and, you put your head down and do the work. And I don't personally know any entrepreneur that hasn't had one of those moments that's propelled them to where they are, as far as being successful. So I'm excited to get people on and kind of just talk about that. For myself, 2024, I kind of dubbed that as my year of elevation. So that's kind of my motto for the year. And God is already really showing out, and next episode, I'll be able to talk a little bit more about that and a little bit more detail. Right now, I'll keep a lot of things under wraps and not spill too much information. But God is showing out, man. One thing I can talk about is DFW Lady Magic or DFW Magic basketball as a whole, but specifically DFW Lady Magic. That's my youth basketball organization, and my coach. I'm a director for the organization. Lately, I've been like a little general manager. So I've been recruiting players, getting commitments from people that are interested. And man, it's been fun. I love that I'm able to speak so confidently about my organization and that people understand and truly see the vision for where we're going. And they see benefit. They see that not only myself, but as an organization as a whole, that we're going to be able to help them get to where they want to get to. The goal is to get all our girls college scholarships, whether that be at a Division I level or Division II all the way to a JUCO, junior college level. So the goal is to get college paid for by any means. My goal is to put these girls in the best position possible to be able to show their talent, showcase that, and then rightfully so earn college scholarships. So we play in, you know, we've got four live period events. That's where college coaches can come out, you know, and actually evaluate the girls in person. And honestly, that's when you want to be on your A game. You know, you don't want to make a bad impression in front of these coaches. As much as I want to say it's no pressure when you're playing in front of these coaches, there definitely is pressure. It's just a matter of how you're going to actually handle it as a player or not. But there will be pressure. So let's not get that confused. But I'm excited about that, you know, excited about the shift that DFW Magic basketball is taking. I think a lot of people here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area are starting to kind of know who we are. You know, we're still not a household name, but we're definitely moving as such. And I think it's a matter of time before we will be, you know, a really big household name here in Dallas. So I'm excited about that. So you'll hear more about that. You know, we're approaching tournament season, our busy time, which is usually April through end of July. So I'll have a lot more episodes in between those times, and you'll hear more about DFW Magic. I want to shift a little bit. Again, I'm a basketball junkie. I'm an avid, you know, basketball watcher, whatever you want to call it, basketball connoisseur. I haven't been watching as much NBA this year as I typically do. I don't know if it's because the way the NBA game has shifted, you know, it's at times it's not really competitive. And I think sometimes, you know, it just becomes entertainment for me. And I don't know, but I haven't watched as many games this year. But one thing that did stand out to me, man. So as of today's January 25th, 2024, the Boston Celtics do have the best record in the NBA right now. So shout out to Jason Tatum, St. Louis kid. And he's, man, literally becoming the face of the league right in front of our eyes. He's playing with a chip on his shoulder, which is scary. He's playing with a little bit of more dog mentality to where he's asserting himself as I'm that guy. I'm the face of the league. Nobody's better than me. And if he continues to play like that, then it's really scary for the NBA as a whole. If the Celtics continue to play the way they're playing, I might have to retract back. And I said before that the Milwaukee Bucks would be better than the Boston Celtics. But if Boston continues to play this way from top to bottom, man, they're built to win a championship. They play defense. They've got scoring. They've got guys that have that experience. They've got guys that have dog mentality. So, I mean, they're equipped to make a very long run. So I'm not going to count them out. They're in the East, so, I mean, there is some competition. Not as much, you know, as it is like in the West, per se. But my mind takes me back to earlier this week, too, man, on Monday. Joel Embiid with a 70-point game. That's incredible, man. And I think he got 70 with no three-pointers. Or he may have – if he had a three-pointer, it was only one. So that was just pure dominance, man. He just – Joel Embiid's, I would say, a once-in-a-generation type of talent. I mean, to be that big and be that mobile and you know, kind of athletic, if you want to call it that, I mean, that's incredible. You know, to be able to stretch out the floor, shoot the three, you know, be able to actually put the ball on the court and make moves. You know, his footwork is impeccable. You know, I would say he reminds me of Hakeem Olajuwon. I don't want to say he's more skilled, but I feel like he is more skilled than Hakeem. Hakeem had great footwork. I mean, he was really the only big guy that was really moving like that at the time, back in the 90s, or even if you go late 80s, throughout the 90s. Hakeem kind of was the poster child for big men. And I feel like Joel kind of molded his game after Hakeem a little bit. But, man, Joel's just, like I said, this dude is a different beast, man. So excited about his future. I would really like to see him win at least one ring. He deserves it, man. He's been healthy. He's, you know, putting up, you know, like I said, 70-point games. I know he's leading the league in scoring right now. So that's, I think he's at like 35 a game. So that's incredible, man. So we're getting closer and closer. I mean, we're All-Star break almost. We're probably a couple weeks away from All-Star break. And then, you know, we hit the second half of the season and, you know, start to make final playoff pushes and seedings and stuff like that. So it'll be exciting time for the NBA. Milwaukee Bucks, man, earlier this week they fired Adrian Griffin. He was the first-year coach for them. But he didn't even make it to All-Star break. So I'm kind of confused on that whole situation. You know, they fired him, and then like a day later they hired Doc Rivers. So it's like, were you guys already plotting on this? Or, you know, just something seems a little fishy in Milwaukee, man. I can't put my finger on it. Probably had a lot to do with Giannis. You know, who knows? I don't know. I don't have any insiders. I can't say that my main man in Milwaukee told me blah, blah, blah. You know, but if I had to really think about it, you know, what could have went wrong? The only thing I can think of is that, you know, with Giannis and Dame being there, Dame Lillard, they want to shape themselves to be a win now team. And they realize the importance of winning now. And so to, you know, get rid of a first year coach in the first half of the season, I don't think that was the right way to go about it. You know, but then you do go and hire an experienced coach that's won a championship with Doc Rivers. So, I mean, it's a good hire. The biggest thing for Milwaukee, I mean, they're very low with their defensive efficiency. They're like third from the bottom in the league. So they're not really playing defense. And honestly, I don't think they have the pieces to be a solid defensive team. So we'll see how that kind of helps them or how that shapes out, you know, in the playoffs. If they can, you know, kind of make a deep run without really playing defense, we'll see. Most of the league doesn't play defense anyway. So, you know, they might make a decent run. Lastly, NBA-wise, I want to talk about LeBron. And this is always a touchy subject when you talk about LeBron, because LeBron, you either hate him or you love him. I don't know too many people that feel wishy-washy about LeBron. Like I said, you either hate him or you love him. In my opinion, Jordan will always be the GOAT, so I'll settle that debate right now, you know. Jordan's always going to be the GOAT to me, no matter what. No matter what. Michael Jordan will always be the GOAT. I don't think that it needs to be up for discussion. I admire what LeBron's done for the NBA since 2003 when he came into the league, and he's still playing. Here we are, 2024. He's still playing. He's been a businessman, a mogul. I mean, he's literally transcended the business side of an athlete and business world. He's kind of merged and combined those pretty good. But again, it's just, I don't know, man. It's maybe because I grew up in the 90s and Michael Jordan was just that guy for me. He's the reason I played basketball. I emulated all of his moves. Want to be like Mike. You know, that was a commercial, and I often walked around the house singing that jingle too. So I'll end that debate and just say that Jordan is my GOAT. But again, no knock on LeBron, man, because to do what he's doing at this level at the age of 39, that's unbelievable. I'm 37 and I get a couple shots up and I'm like, man, I need an ice bath or I need a masseuse or something to come through. But he's playing in the NBA. He's playing at a very high level. I believe he's averaging, I don't know if he's averaging 30. I know he's averaging at least 25, 7, and 7. So 25 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists. Those are very solid numbers, especially at his age, at the age of 39. So let's give LeBron credit, man, and let's show respect, because this greatness, eventually, he's not showing signs of slowing down. You know, at times you feel like, okay, maybe we might be getting close to the end for LeBron, but then the next night he'll come down the lane and have a tomahawk dunk, and you're like, okay, how is he still doing this? So who knows when the end will be for LeBron, but while he's still playing, I mean, as a basketball fan, I'm going to still appreciate it and cheer for him and salute him. So shout out to LeBron. Definitely got to catch you next time you're here in Dallas when you guys play the Mavs. Last thing, and then I'm going to let you guys go and, you know, we'll pick back up. Like I said, this I wanted to just make this a check-in and kind of get myself back in the groove because, again, this is the year of elevation. I'm fully committed to taking off, expanding everything, elevating everything in my life, you know, personal relationship, business, fatherhood, being a husband, all those good things. So I kind of touched on it earlier with the popularity of women's basketball. I'm kind of thrust right into it now with coaching girls, high school basketball at the AAU level. But the women's game, man, it's becoming so popular. And honestly, for myself, I'll actually sit and watch a women's college game over a men's college game at this point, depending on who's playing. The college game itself is just more competitive than the professional side. But the women's game, man, it's so exciting. You know, you used to have your juggernauts, you knew UConn, Stanford, you know, those teams were going to kind of run the world of college basketball for women. But now you've got so many different teams that the talent's so widespread. You don't know who's going to take off, who's going to win. So I do love that. Also, I love the fact that these girls now are coming in. They're coming in more athletic. They're coming in dunking. You know, who would have thought we'd get to that point where the women's game would consist of, you know, dunks throughout the season. So that's exciting. You know, for me, it's not the most fascinating thing, but I mean, it's pretty commendable. But I love watching women's college basketball. Like I said, I coach girls as well. So I almost feel like those kind of go hand in hand. I need to be watching the women's game so that I'm able to make comparisons when I talk to my players, or, you know, I can kind of just see how things are shifting and prepare my girls for, you know, what's next to come for them. But I want to thank you guys, man, for tuning in. Like I said, this is Ice Cold Facts. First episode of the new year. First episode won't be the last. Only thing I would say is buckle your seatbelt. Enjoy this ride with me of elevating. The podcast is going to go to new heights. I mean, I'm excited. I don't know. Maybe the people that truly know me and know how near and dear this podcast is to me, they probably feel the same. For the ones that don't know me and you're just learning about Ice Cold Facts, be sure to go back, check some of the old episodes out, and then stay tuned in for new episodes to come. The goal is maybe 2 to 3 episodes a month. Full video, interview style. But like I said, I'm going to allow guests to come on, give their story, talk about their upbringing, and kind of how they got to where they are. So again, man, I want to thank y'all. Ice Cold Facts, signing out. Peace.